Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Labrish. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and we're here on Blog Talk Radio, Backyard Labrish, each week on a Wednesday at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And tonight, I see that several of my regular backyard guests are gathered in the backyard, and I'm sure they have taken their positions in their favorite chair under their favorite tree or on the veranda or on the beach. So we're just going to chill, relax, and I know that perhaps wherever you are, if you're in America or perhaps even Canada, you're perhaps finding it very hot. So now this evening is going to take a lot of imagination to picture yourself. I don't know about now. Don't know what the weather was like today, but I'm sure by this, possibly the trade winds are gently blowing over the island. So just feel it and get in the mood as we talk about the money. This evening we're going to the root or the roots of Jamaican money, and money in general, because I remember as I was growing up, and even now, you know, you don't really pay too much attention to the money and how it got started and how it originated. You just know that you never seem to have enough. So I remember when I was in Jamaica, I don't even remember what the money looked like. We used the old money in my time, meaning the British pounds, shillings, and pence. And I left the island before it was changed to the currency that is now in existence. And I'm trying to rock my brain to remember what it looked like. But I suppose I would recognize it if I see it. But the point here is that, you know, when you're growing up and you just use it or, you know, you don't really pay too much attention to it. So tonight we're going to have a little history lesson, as well as, for me, it was quite an enlightenment, because what I'm going to do first, and I want to thank all the listeners on the board and those listening online, and to remind our listeners online that you can always call in to 718-766-4558 and join the Labrish. So what I'd like to do now, and again I have to recognize Dr. Rebecca Tortello, who has done a wonderful job in several articles that is on Pieces of the Past, which is a segment of the Daily Gleaner, and it's always available to everyone. So they have a lot of what we discuss here on Backyard Lavish comes from those articles. So I'm going to just briefly read what she says, and then I'd like to share with you some history about money itself, because I just think that it was very interesting to me, so I thought perhaps the rest of the listeners might find it interesting. And she starts off the article, and it says, Money, the Roots of Jamaican Currency. Like many cultures, the first Jamaicans, the Taino Indians, used the barter system, trading commodities for other commodities. Although there were some gold on the island, the Indians used it for decorative purposes. Now, when the Spanish arrived in 1490 and began to trade with the Indians, they tended to use glass beads and other trinkets. Now, by the early 1500s, coins were in use on the island. They were very thin and light, made from copper, and call maravedis, M-A-R-A-V-E-D-I-S, which I suppose is a Spanish word. But so that's how it started, the trading thing. And I'm sure people who know history, that's how people traded in the old days, you know, whether it was Jamaica or any other place. It was the barter system, which might end up being a good idea now where we have shortages all over of money. So, and of course, again, let me welcome the visitors and remind the visitors who may come later on to listen to the show that this is a very relaxed formula that we have here. We are not really always politically correct or even correct. I am just usually researching things I find interesting about the culture that the senior Jamaicans were brought up in. I know that a lot of us are scattered all over the world, and things have changed all over the world, as they have in Jamaica. And what I'm trying to do on this show is to just bring some light to some of the things that we experienced, meaning in the 30s and 40s and 50s before independence, and then discovering some things that we didn't learn, especially I didn't learn when I was growing up there. And I just find it very, very fascinating, because as we go through the show, I am going to share with you a big aha moment that I had, because I had heard this particular phrase and really never know where it originated. And by doing the research for the money about an hour ago, I found out. I was like a kid again, jumping up and down. So let me give you a little history. That is also on the pages from the Pieces of the Past that I thought was very interesting. And the caption on this is Early Forms of Currency. What do tea, salt, rice, almonds, grains, shells, weapons, jewelry, and tools have in common? That's a question. And if anyone on the board knows, just hit one on your telephone. I'll see you raise your hand like you were in school, and I'll open up the mic so you can join the labrish. But if I don't see any raised hands, I'm going to give you the answer. And it says here, in ancient times, they each served as money. Can you imagine that? As a result of the transition from Stone Age hunting and gathering to herding and agriculture, which led to surpluses. Now, when they had a surplus came the need to trade and barter. And then emerged the early form of commerce. So I suppose as the Stone Age people and the herders had enough for their village or and families and they had extras, then they could trade it with something else that they didn't have. So, I mean, that it included, you know, from rice to guns or whatever the weapons were in those days. I don't suppose there were guns, but perhaps bows and arrows or whatever. But I thought that was quite interesting. Now, once wild animals were domesticated, cattle, sheep, and camel were also used as forms of currency. Humans, too, were used as money, even after the invention of coinage. In the 16th century, for example, the average exchange value of a slave was 8,000 pounds of sugar. And I thought that was quite interesting. So again, let me go back now to talk about specifically what happened in Jamaica. Now, as everybody know a little bit of history about Jamaica, and when it was supposedly discovered by whoever, when people were there all along before. But they, let me get back to Dr. Tortella's notes here. Now, the Spanish, once they got there, were actually using coins that came from Santo Domingo. Now, occasionally, these stamps were... coins were stamped with markings such as keys and anchors and had different values. I suppose how large the keys on the coins were they made them of certain value. Now, during the Allenstein time as a Spanish colony, little was done to develop Jamaica's natural resources, because it was deemed less valuable than other colonies who had deep reserves of gold. The Spanish people were not very impressed with the agriculture out there. They were only looking for gold, according to this. Jamaica, therefore, remained a poor country used chiefly as an agricultural supplier. That's under the Spanish. Now, by the 17th century, Jamaica had become an English colony after its capture by Cromwell's army. And with the rise of the buccaneers, it had become the headquarters of the British naval fleet and in many ways the seat of the empire, of the English Empire. As such, it received a large supply of coins, and the most popular of which were the familiar Spanish silver dollar, or 8-real coins. And they were called pieces of 8, as they were more commonly known. First, they were circulated in the 16th century. These pieces of 8 had great longevity, staying in circulation until 1839, when Jamaica adopted official British paper currency. Now, I just wondered, you know, they have a museum in the Bank of Jamaica. I don't understand what's going on with us tonight, but we seem to be, I don't know, we're running out of time. They're telling me I have 60 seconds left for the show, so I don't know if there's a problem with the station. It says here that I think I have an error. We might have to end the show because they're telling me I only have a few seconds left. There must be some malfunction with the electronic parts, because it says here I have 18 seconds remaining on the show, so this must be a mistake where I am going to have to end soon, so I guess I'll have to say goodbye. I don't know what's going on, but we definitely have a malfunction here. My board is telling me I have just a few seconds remaining. So I tell what I can tell my fans is I will check with the powers that be and find out what happened and perhaps re-record the show and put it in the segment somewhere. And then you can listen to it at your convenience. So I apologize for this. I have no idea what's going on, but I don't know if you can hear what I hear, but we have run out of time. Wow. Is anyone hearing me? Can you put up your hand? Hello? Yes, I see an open hand, so I guess it says the show is on but not streaming. Hello?
Hi, Margaret.
Hi, dear.
I can hear you.
I know you can hear me, but apparently we're not recording. Anyway, what I'm going to do, I'm hoping that my listeners online can hear me too, but it's telling me on the board, did you hear a voice saying 60 seconds?
No, I didn't hear anything at all.
Oh, apparently it was just on my end.
I would say keep talking, and if it gets cut off, then we know exactly what happened.
Right. Well, thank you for letting me know.
Yeah.
So I am going to make do and pretend that I didn't hear all of that.
Right.
So let's go on with the business of money. And I see that my loyal listener from 718-379 is on the board. And there's also a couple of people from 973-373 and 404-298. So I want to apologize for the little mishap we just had. But I'm going to go on with our talk on the money. I'm reminded of that movie where the famous line was, show me the money. So that's what we're going to be doing, is to go a little further about how we got from the trading with the Indians to where we are today when we have dollars and cents. So Mr. 718-379, would you like to put up your hand? Are you there? Is that my loyal listener from the Bronx, home of the Yankees? Okay.
Yeah, can you see me?
Yes, I can, and your mic is open. Good evening. Can you identify?
Well,
pardon?
This is Lay from the Bronx. I have been listening to your show standing up because I'm very busy. And I was even tapping my toes when you introduced your theme song.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sitting down as I usually am with a glass of whatever.
Oh, okay. Can you pretend? Are you hot or is it comfortable where you are?
Because fortunately I have air condition, but if I venture out of my little den here, I will be hot.
I got you.
But I'll tell
all
you
right.
Just a quick story. I am into my father's, I will just call it my father's pen, fishing out some coins, Jamaican coins.
And?
So I don't know if there is a part of your talk that I will be able to introduce just what I found.
Oh, sure, sure. But just did you see anything that looked sort of like it could have been from the old days, because they're talking about the Spanish had this.
Yes, I heard you. Well, it's very unlikely that people would, in the old days, they would have coins that were actual gold pieces. You mentioned pieces of it. This was actual gold, and it's not unique just to Jamaica. When coins were introduced as a means of payment of debt and exchange. So it was very much later that they found out that it was not practical to continue using coins as with gold, so they would put an alloy in the coin.
Mm-hmm.
And gradually, these alloys became very inexpensive until the present day, when they're moving away from coins, because even copper coins are worth a lot more than a penny copper coin.
I got you. So the value of the coin was less than in the trade value, it was less than the weight of the coin.
Right.
The weight of the coin was more valuable than the trading of it, is what you're saying.
Yes. And so to go to your question about, did you find, if people that have gold coins, any one coin are a catch of coins would be worth a lot of money right now, because you can always melt them down. You can't do that with present day coins.
I got you. Well, it's good to know that once upon a time that was being circulated in Jamaica. So, had you heard the term pieces of eight before?
Yes, that's a very common term, that especially when you're talking about pirates, and you know they would ambush ships just to get to the cargo, because they know that pieces of eight were amongst the cargo and precious stones and all of that.
Right.
So it's a very common term in that time period.
Right. What was interesting, I found in some of the documentation, and there's information at the website for the Bank of Jamaica, because they have a museum within the Bank of Jamaica, is that during that period, they had different kinds, coins from different countries that were being used in Jamaica. You mentioned possibly because of the pirates. You know, they had coins from Portugal, from all over.
Right.
So, you know, it was accepted then as normal, I suppose, because I suppose everybody knew that the money was stolen money, really, if it was being used by the pirates. But the merchants and things apparently accepted it. Now, it is really believed that coinage was created around in China. It is in China and Turkey in the 5th and 6th century that coins were actually created. And I never even thought of those countries as being countries as the ones that would be the origination of that. In some cases, items such as shells and weapons and jewelry remained in use even after the invention of the coins. Now, in China, the coins included images and objects that were used there, you know, their kind of things. But that's where it really started, in China and also in Turkey. Now, paper, on the other hand, arrived around 650 A.D. when a Chinese emperor issued paper as a value token for general use because the trade expansion had begun, you know, in China. And that's where paper actually was the first time paper was used in trade. So I thought all of this was just very interesting history. Now, it wasn't until the 17th century when the Swedes took the lead by issuing paper currency with other countries, and gradually following suit were other countries after the Swedes did. Now, money has been in use in different forms all over the world for over 5,000 years, which isn't a long time. Is it?
Yep.
It seems like I thought it was, money itself.
Long before Jamaica existed.
Right. So I thought that was all of interesting information there. So let me tell you a little bit about now the British money. Now, in 19... No, I'm not ready for the current one yet. Let me go back to one of my documents here that told about, you know, there's politics in everything. And it goes back so far when, you know, people are making decisions and doing things that perhaps is not pleasing to everybody. But I wanted to point this out, that in the early Jamaica, I think it was in 1840, they said, British currency became that of Jamaica by law. In other words, money in circulation was to be a lower denomination, copper coins. Do you know, from 1840, the farthing and half penny and penny halfpenny, as they said here, as well as higher denomination silver coins, were in use. And they had the half crown and all of that. But no, there was a little story I wanted to tell you before, because during the time when they were using all this different money, the government of Jamaica then decided that they were going to come up with something special that was not okayed by the British people. And some of the merchants accepted it, others didn't, and then it was withdrawn. And, of course, the governor then at the time was rebuked because he didn't get the proper author or didn't have the authority to do what he did. But at this time, I want to ask if anyone knows how the kwati came into being. Does anybody even know what it is?
Yes, I do.
What, can you tell me?
A kwati is a penny and a halfpenny.
A penny, halfpenny.
A penny and a half penny.
Right. Do you know how it got started?
No, that I don't remember. This is going far back beyond my time.
Before our time, honey.
Right.
Actually, it was first known as the Christian kwatis. And they came up with it because of the slaves and ex-slaves didn't have a lot of money. And they did not, you know, I suppose at that time they had to give 10% of what they earned to the church. So they came up with this kwati, mm-hmm. which was, what did you say it was, a penny, halfpenny?
Yes, penny and a halfpenny.
A penny and a half a penny, yes.
Yes, right.
Which would be a halfpenny, as
right.
we call it.
Mm-hmm.
They call it here a pence, P-N-C,
mm-hmm.
and half pence, which is a penny and a halfpenny, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a kwati, but it was actually the half pence was introduced because the poor people couldn't afford to give the copper coins for their collection. So that is when they minted the half a penny to go with the penny to make it the kwati.
See, because a penny is a half of a penny.
Uh-huh.
A penny is a half of a penny.
Uh-huh.
So I guess what they did was to break it down so, you know, they had it to use accordingly. I don't know.
Right, right. But there was a real need for it at the time. That's why they came. They don't say here why they called it the kwati or who named it the kwati.
Yeah.
But you are right. A penny and a half a penny constitute a kwati.
Yes.
And it's spelled Q-U-A-T-T-I-E.
Yes.
I had spelled it wrong in the promotion because I never really knew much about it. I know about it. I mean, I knew that what it is. I didn't remember what it was worth, but I was familiar with the kwati.
Well, it's spelled Q-U-A-T-T-I-E or Q-U-A-T-T-Y.
Yeah, well, this according to this these documentations I'm reading in Q-U-A-T-T-I-E.
Yes.
Yes. But it all came about around 1834 when they minted, I suppose, the half a penny to put with the penny, so that, and it was called then the Christian kwarti, because I suppose it had to do with the tithing that people did at during those times.
I don't remember if it was the a-penny or the penny, but I distinctly remember that one of them had like a church on the back.
Oh, really?
Yes. I don't remember if it's the a-penny or the penny, but it
Well, it must be the penny, because the half-penny.
Yes.
That's why it's the Christian money.
Yes.
Right, right, because they actually did it because of that.
Yes.
That's a good memory.
And the corners weren't square or round. It was like, it had a shape to it. I don't
You see,
I remember.
If you think of it, this allowed the poor and very poor to put money in the collection plate.
Yes.
Right, right, right. Now, in 1869 is when the father, no, 1880 came the farthing,
yeah,
which was half of a penny.
Farthing
no.
is a quarter of a penny.
The half a penny is that a coin?
Farthing is the quarter of the a penny. Sorry,
it's half of a penny.
No, it's a quarter
of a penny.
Of a penny. Yes.
A quarter of a halfpenny.
Yes.
No, a half of a halfpenny. Two farthings is a halfpenny.
Ah.
No, because three farthings are three quarter of a penny.
Exactly.
So, a farthing, I would say, is a quarter, and then a half
is the halfpenny.
It would be a half of a halfpenny, and then three quarter is three farthings of a penny.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember anything being like the value? I mean, you would pay a three farthing for something in the old days?
Of course. Everything had a value in those days.
I know, but I'm wondering if any items would be like for less than a penny.
Well, I would say,
I mean,
like,
in our days, I'm talking about.
Like a kwarti, maybe you could get a candy with that. I don't think it went a far way.
Well, there were a lot of things that you would go to market and the higglers sold, and you could pay that kind of money for things.
Yes.
You're right.
Usually, when you go to the market, the people from the country would use that term.
Yeah, is that term comes directly from the higglers.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, do you know that the farthings were in circulation until the 50s?
Yes.
I suppose it just says here until the 50s. It didn't say when it went totally out.
Yeah.
But I would think that it went out when they might not have been minting them, but there perhaps were coins in circulation until the money was changed to the Jamaican money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they, as I said before, they stopped minting farthings because it became farthings were actually pure copper,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they didn't want, you know, it was too expensive to make any more of them,
mm-hmm.
And especially because the value of the farthing was practically no value, you know?
Mm-hmm, nothing.
Nothing. So it was too expensive to keep minting them.
Well, I suppose it's almost like the dollar. When you think of the value of a dollar now, you know, the Jamaican dollar, it will be soon like the farthing.
Right.
In terms of exchange for anything, I doubt there's anything out there now that is just a dollar.
It wouldn't buy you much, if anything
right.
at all. Yeah.
I just found a coin that's a $1 coin.
Mm-hmm.
What metal is it made of?
A shilling?
£1. £1.
A coin pound?
Yes.
I've never.
Oh.
found a 50 cent, is it a 50?
There were no cents there. It would have to be pounds, shillings, and pence.
I'm trying to figure out. I can't read this
thing. Quarter crown, which is half of a shilling.
Yeah, that looks
50
like what
cents.
It is.
50 whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's got the queen, queen's picture on it.
Yeah, that's half of a shilling.
I was looking to see if there were any in the collection here with that before Queen Elizabeth's time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and did you find anything?
Not yet, but I stopped looking because these coins are, you know, they're they mess up your hands, man.
Oh, is it because they've been stored away long or what?
Probably just the composition of them in time. They whatever it's made of is degraded, you know.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Is there any more that you want to share with us about the coins you have?
I find one that I'm, you know, some of them are slightly effaced, so it's not easy to read in bad light. This one is a. It looks like a copper piece, but it's not a, you know, like a farthing or anything. Like it could even be a penny.
Does it have a year on it?
I'm trying to read it, but the 1951 or something.
Oh well,
that's
not all that old.
No, that is way up.
Yeah, but it's still before the new
independence when we changed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let me just tell you a little bit about the private bank notes. The first bank notes used in Jamaica were issued by private commercial banks in the mid-19th century. The Bank of Jamaica, which is no relation to the bank now, the first commercial bank to operate in Jamaica was established in 1836, but did not issue any notes. The Colonial Bank incorporated in England by royal charter in 1836 began operation in Jamaica in 1837. The first notes issued by this bank were payable in British pounds, Spanish dollars, and local currency. The Planters Bank was established in 1839 to serve the needs of the sugar planters, also issued notes. So they had different banks at that time issuing different kind of notes. I'm sure it was perhaps confusing because the Planters Bank was issuing their notes and, you know, another bank was issuing their notes. Now, the Planters Bank was wound up in 1851 and the Bank of Jamaica in 1864. Another bank, the London and Colonial Bank, started operations in 1864. But in 65, it closed. So as I read this, I said, you know, the same thing was happening then as happening now, because I know in my city where I lived, you know, they live now currently in the USA, that we had all these strange name banks, you know, not familiar name. Of course, half of them are closed now. But as I read this, I say, you know, this was happening from 18 whenever, because it was this bank that was started in 1864 and closed in 1865.
Nice.
You know, so it just goes to show that, you know, life goes on, and a lot of the things that were happening in those days are still happening now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the failure of this London and the Colonial Bank in 1865, the Colonial Bank enjoy a monopoly in the banking system. Once that, I suppose they must have helped put the competition out of business. Now, in 1925, that particular bank was incorporated in a bank. I'm sure everybody's Jamaican is going to know this name, but it was incorporated with Barclays Bank of London.
Yep.
And that was in 1925.
Yep.
Ain't that something?
Yep.
As I was reading this, they even had an Anglo-Egyptian Bank Limited and a National Bank of South Africa Limited.
Yep.
All of this was in Jamaica.
Yeah, yeah.
This group became known as Barclays Bank.
You know, you had Barclays Bank here.
Yeah, listen, also Dominion, Colonial, and Overseas Bank, DCO. That's what the Barclays DCO meant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Following the merger, notes were issued in the name of Barclays Bank, DCO.
Oh, you have PLC, which that is a part of the British thing.
Oh.
PLC area.
Right.
Yes.
Now, in the 1800s, with the increasing trade between Jamaica and Canada, branches of Canadian banks were established in Jamaica. The Bank of Nova Scotia was the first
mm-hmm.
to begin operating there.
Right.
So those are names that we grew up with. But I never knew that it was a more or less an amalgamation or a merger that took place of all these other different banks, you know, that produced the ones that we knew.
Yeah.
And a branch of the Royal Bank of Canada was opened in 1911 and the Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce in 1920. And I wanted to know, does anybody know if these banks are still operating in Jamaica?
I don't.
Yes. So as you mentioned, are still in Canadian Bank of Commerce is still there.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And the Royal Bank of Canada?
Yes.
Ah.
I don't think Barclays is there anymore.
I don't think so. But a lot of the banks, like the Canadian banks, merged and changed their names. And then, for instance, the Bank of Nova Scotia became locally and in all the islands, Scotia Bank, even though they're affiliated still with Bank of Nova Scotia in Canada. But that's a local bank that bears an affiliation to their home office in Canada, Bank of Nova Scotia.
Oh, so they are still in Jamaica too?
As Scotia Bank.
Bank of Nova Scotia?
No, as Scotia Bank.
Oh, okay.
So there's only the Jamaican bank and and that particular bank, or there are other banks?
There are other banks. I don't pay much attention to them because we tend to look at international banks when we go there. There are still a lot of the original some of those names that you mentioned.
Right, right.
Wasn't there a Royal Bank? Not
yes.
That
used to be on King
yes,
Street.
Yes, in King Street. Yeah.
Well, you know, there is quite a lot of history, and actually a display of all of this old money, and that is in the museum at the bank, which is in Kingston. And for the people who, you know, love history, it might be an interesting place to visit if you go or on your next trip to Jamaica, because it shows you, you know, the evolvement from, I suppose, the days of the barter to now.
Yeah.
But
now that I'm thinking about it, my husband had a pen that he got from Jamaica as a souvenir.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like in a glass thing, and then it's those pen that you stick in. And it had three coins in there. Now that I'm thinking of it, I have to look and see what the...
Three coins in the pen?
It's like it's in a case, like in a glass
case.
Uh-huh. And then it would have the holder of the pen. But
right.
It's a souvenir he got from Jamaica. And in the glass part, there are three coins in there from Jamaica, Jamaican coins.
Oh, interesting. Well, what I wanted to share with you is, have anybody heard the term double luna joint?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know anything about double loon?
Yes.
My grandmother always said that.
Okay. So what
joint have no limitation. You can do a lot of stuff. Bend it whichever way you want to bend it.
It has to do with like the value of something. Well, at least that's how I understood
when
it.
He said that it meant that it was very expensive. It was doubloon.
Right. Double luna joint referred to the value of something.
Oh, yes, you're right. I'm thinking of something else. Yes.
Yeah, there was doubloon is a coin as well, very like a parrot coin as well, you know.
Right. It is a Spanish coin that used to be in use in the 1840s.
Right.
Yes.
But that is how that term that we heard came about. It was actually a money. I didn't know that before. I just thought it was a phrase when they talk about double luna joint.
Start watching some parrot movies. They always mention these types of money, doubloon and stuff like that.
Right. But in reading this, I realized it was actually a Spanish coin. That was the name of it, just like, oh, you would have a shilling or a penny. The name of that coin was doubloon. And apparently it might have been a gold coin because it was considered of high value.
I guess it doubled.
I don't know, but that was the name of it, doubloon.
Yeah.
Doubloon.
Right.
And that was my moment because I'd heard that phrase related to something expensive, like she wants double luna joint.
Yes.
Or whatever. But never knew, I couldn't connect to what it meant, like a lot of other phrases that we grew up with, you know, that we can figure out what it means. But it was not until I was going over these notes I realized that it was actually a physical coin.
They use it in the term that I mentioned first, too.
Yes, in terms of?
The joints being flexible where, you know, some people can actually put their foot over around their neck or they can...
Oh, really?
Oh, that's double joint.
I never heard the double loon used with that.
Oh, that is just double joint.
Just double joint, yes.
Oh, okay.
They would refer to it if somebody is saying something is very expensive or somebody expects more than the value of what they're offering.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
That they would say she wants or he wants or they want double luna joint for... Perhaps something that was scarce.
Yes, yes.
And you couldn't get it at the time because it was out of season or something.
Yes.
And I never really could connect. I knew that it meant it was more expensive, but I didn't know how the phrase originated. So I found out tonight.
Oh.
Ain't that something? So with that said... Ladies and gentlemen, we're not really recording. We're just streaming. It's just telling me now. So we might have had some technical difficulties. I'm going to have to check on it and see. I might have to edit the show at some time for the few people who come by later on to listen. All they will hear is just a few minutes when we were actually live. We are live now, but it's not recorded. So unless my... loyal fans have some additional information.
I would just like to ask any of you if you have any gold coins. I would be interested in that.
Oh, you want to buy some?
Yes.
Oh, really?
And
well, we'll let, you know.
Who would part with that if they have it?
Someone who don't really see the value, not necessarily they don't see the value, but they're not like collectors, you know. Some people it means nothing. They have it sitting down someplace. They never look at it. You know, it's just there. For the people who collect, it has more meaning than someone who's just going to hoard it. They're hoarders and they're collectors. So I am assuming that our fan from the Bronx is a collector or intends to become more of a collector, and that's why he's putting out the word for some gold coins. Do they have to relate to Jamaica, Ms. Lay?
Pardon?
You want them to relate to Jamaica necessarily?
Necessarily, as long as it's gold, I would be interested.
All right. Well, how about the pounds, shillings, and pence?
Well, pounds, shillings, pence. That was in the initial period, too, because that's what our currency, mandated by our colonial masters in England, wanted.
Mm-hmm.
We were under the pounds, shillings, and pence system.
Right.
That's
and
right
are
up.
You interested in collecting any of that?
No.
Oh,
I see my father has a fair amount of those coins, which are practically worthless.
Really?
Looked at a 2-shilling piece. Nice design on it, though.
Uh-huh.
Maybe if I shined it up, it would look good.
No, actually, most times when I watch these antique shows, they say, you know, sometimes polishing these old things actually reduces the value. For some reason. So you might want to get some expert advice on that before you do it. But do you know anything about the current money and what is the largest denomination they have in notes?
Current money?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen $1,000 bills like it was our $10 bills.
Oh, yes. Well, that is the largest as far as I see here. And, you know, they had an upgrade with the pineapple trademark and all of that and some of those in 1960. But they have a $500 note.
Yes.
And a $1,000 note.
Right. Now, because the money is so, there's such a disparity between the value of money now as related to the dollar. A $1,000 bill is, as I said, just like our $10 bill.
Yeah, it don't worth anything.
Right, and you mentioned before, I mean, if you had a 50-cent piece, I wonder if you could get on the bus with that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. You mean the in Jamaica?
Jamaica right now.
Oh, I got you. Uh-huh. Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, a lot of that, I suppose the coins are almost, have no value at all.
Yeah.
Because they do have coins now that
yeah.
are in the 50 cents and things like that when they switch from shillings.
$5 coins.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, probably $10 as well.
Right, right. Well, one thing for sure that because of the devaluation, the American dollars are very attractive, so people going down on vacation will get a higher value for their dollar, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Theoretically, but not in reality, because they quickly adjust, especially to the tourist. You know, they know what the value is of the item, so they adjust it to the dollar. So you're not going to get any bargains.
Oh, I got you.
Because of the translation of the money.
Right.
Get the bargains if you can barter a little. And I find that Jamaica sellers are people that sell even souvenir items. In Jamaica, they don't bargain as much as other places in Latin America.
Mm.
The prices.
Oh, I see. That you mean the price is what it is, and there's no room for negotiation?
Right.
Oh.
I mean, some do a little bit, but not
right.
Say as in Honduras and Guyana. When you go there, you in Mexico, you're expected to barter.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Bargain.
Right.
Yeah. And usually. For instance, I have a medal, you know, a gold medal that I bought in Mexico, and because the guy knew, some Spanish guy recommended me to this seller, and I went to him and I got the coin for $200. Now. A couple that was in my hotel, I hate to say it, but a white couple, went to the same guy on my direction, and he wouldn't give it to them for $200. $400 are, you know, was a bargain to them. I don't know whether they bought it or not, but they in other words, bargaining is if you're good at it, you can make out pretty good. If you're not so good, the guy doing it is very psychological about it. He can get you one way or the other. He's not going to lose money for his product.
Uh-huh. So what you're saying is that you were actually a better negotiator than the other couple.
In one sense, but in reality, it's because I was from the Caribbean.
I got you. You got a little brotherly love.
Yes.
Okay.
No, it's a delicate subject because these people, and I find this all along Central America, they like Americans for what they buy, not because of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So... If I go and I say, look, straight up, I am from Jamaica. I never say I'm American.
I got you.
A better price.
Ah, all right.
Even when I buy water coconut, you pay $2.50, I pay $1.50.
Uh-huh. So you know how to get the price lower.
Oh, yes.
Well, since we're talking about money, I think that would come under the category of you know how to conserve more of yours.
Well, that's not necessarily true.
Well, at least when you're negotiating.
Oh, yes.
From that point of view. But I just want to end it on this note that the current money, in deciding on the current money, which came out in 1961, the notes retain the same colors as the pound shill and the pounds, you know, the different paper money from the British. Did you know that?
The
money now is red, blue, purple, green, and blue. It's red,
I didn't that much
purple,
mind.
Green, and blue. But they kept the color. The basic color, not the designs, of course, but the colors the same.
Okay.
In the denomination that there were went under the British system. And that might have been quite clever because, especially for the older people or the more mature people, or people might be slightly sight impaired, they could relate to the value of it if it was the same color, like the 5 shillings and the $5, you know, being the same color. So that made a lot of sense. But anyway, with that said, I am going to, we're going to say good night. And thanks for the people on board who have come on to hear us just relax and take a minute to talk about some old stuff that hopefully you'll find interesting as you relax and pretend that you're home under your favorite tree. And you're beating the heat with a cold drink of something tropical. And you can even be doing that wherever you are listening to the show right now. because I think it's sort of hot all over. So we're going to have to use a lot of ingenuity and imagination to keep ourselves cool. So with that said, my loyal fans, I thank you for your support, and I ask you to continue to spread the word, because we are getting some fantastic hits and response from our listeners. They are really listening to the show, so that I find very encouraging. And again, I ask, if you have ideas of what you want to elaborate about, do drop me an email, and please visit our website, which is backyardlabrish.com, www.backyardlabrish.com. And for the foreigners who might not know how to spell Labrish, it's Labrish, just like it sounds. And it actually means to get together and talk, not necessarily a gossip, but what we labrish about here in the backyard each week at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday is things that we want to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve about our rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. We might not be there right now. We might never retire there, but it's still the land we love. Right, fans?
Right.
Okay. So with that said, I will ask you, as I always do, to make it a great week. Bye.
Bye. God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.